Today, I guess to make it official, you should probably look at somebody and tell them you're in the right place at the right time on a Sunday morning. Since I'm not preaching to the world, I want to just look at the camera and say, welcome everybody at the other campuses. No, I'm kidding. This is a truly great opportunity that I get to stand before you, and I do appreciate it, and I'm thankful that Pastor would have the confidence in me and allow me to do that. There is a couple of scriptures I want to start out with, and you can find those in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 7 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we worship you and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and to be gathered with your people. God, I ask that we would be able to hear and receive what you have for us today. May we leave here differently and challenged to be more kingdomly focused. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you and thank you for being here. Today I want to take the next couple of hours and talk to you about something that I like to do. Actually, no, it won't take me that long. I just got a one-inch binder here. I almost came to the stage with a three-inch binder, but you know, that's kind of scary. I always hated it when a professor laid a binder down that was like this. So we've got a lot to cover today. there's something I kind of got to confess, something that I not only see this in myself, but I see it in others as well. And it's probably, for myself, I take it too far and it becomes a bad habit. But I am a people watcher. I love to watch people. I'm so fascinated. I get fascinated by how people react and just go about their daily lives and operate and function. I love to go to busy places and just watch what people are doing. Sometimes I get so distracted, my wife will have to say, "Focus, focus." Or my little sister will say, "Bub, come on, we're leaving you. You've got to pay attention." I'm like, "Well, I'm watching these people." And a couple of my favorite places to do this is on vacation and Christmas shopping. I went to the show Christmas shopping Thursday night across the street at Walmart. It was great. It was great. I just love going in there and watching people. One reason I sit on the front row most of the time is so that I don't get too distracted. But if you think about it, aren't we all kind of people watchers in one way or another? I would say the majority of us in here like some form of television or movies or sporting events. Reading books is even a way that we watch people with our mind's eye. In the last few years through social media, Facebook or Instagram, it's kind of made us all professional people watchers in one sort of a way. In watching people, we learn things, we pick up things that, oh, I can use that. That's neat. I like what they're doing. Or look how they painted their room, their kitchen. We want to do that. Turn that off. It's causing me chores. But there's also things that you can pick up that you don't want to do. It's easier sometimes to learn from other people's mistakes than to make them yourself. They even have those videos on Facebook or Instagram. Excuse me, that's called, I got a hair out of place. It happens. They've got those videos that's called Fail Army or something like that, where people are trying to do things or just doing common things and they fail at it. You're like, yes, I will not be taking a skateboard across a frozen pond. Thank you. I've learned my lesson by watching your failure there. But watching people is also a great way that we learn how to connect with people. And I want to mention a few things that I observe when watching people. I believe God has given us all three commodities of sorts that we are supposed to use to make the most out of our lives. And you heard Pastor mention them. It was time, talent, and treasure. And the first one I want to mention for today is time. What is time? I think you could insert here a lot of different theological, philosophical, and even scientific definitions of time. But for today, let's look at time's definition as an opportunity. God gives us all 24 hours every day. Time can be wasted, time can be spent, or it can be used to its fullest. And I think a lot of times we can even take our time and add value to other people's lives. And when we do that, don't we really add value to our own life? If you invest your time in somebody else, it really, in return, adds value to yourself. Speaking of time, the Bible says that life, which is based on time, is but a vapor. And sometimes we should think about, is the vapor of my life going to be hot enough that it leaves a mark where it touched somebody? Is the vapor of my life pressurized and propels the move of God forward in the earth, kind of like steam pressure propels a locomotive forward? Or is the vapor of my life a sweet-smelling fragrance to people who come in contact with me? Or is the vapor of my life just something that fades away and is never seen again? Time has a way of slipping away from us so very fast. But here's one encouraging thing we can think about when it comes to time. The Bible says that time can be redeemed. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are instructed to be like the wise. And it goes on to tell us how to redeem the time. The word redeem has so many different facets of meaning. And one of those facets could be described as a legal term or a business term, economics or something. Let's think about it like this. If you forget to pay your property taxes and one of these tax delinquent purchasing companies comes through and goes to your sheriff and says, I'm buying this property because they didn't pay their taxes. Just before they become the owner of your property by default, or by law, you are given an opportunity or a span of time where you can redeem your property, where you can have your property deemed back to you for the purchase price. The opportunity or time that we are given sometimes gets neglected, and it might cost us more if we don't pay attention to our time in the present. The Bible instructs us in Ephesians chapter 5 to use time properly. It says, use it wisely. Use time in a way that is productive. Use time in a way that we find ourselves understanding what the will of the Lord is. Use time to fill ourselves with the Word of God. And verse 21 in Ephesians chapter 5 says, tells us to use time by serving one another. Serving requires investing time, but by doing this, the Bible teaches us that we are redeeming the time, purchasing back this very limited resource that may have gotten away. So, how do I serve with my time? That leads me to the second thing I wanted to mention today, and that is with your talent. I believe God has given us all a talent. What is talent? Well, for our purposes today, let's go with the definition of talent is a gift. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts or talents. Use them well to serve one another. I believe each one of us has a special talent or gift. Maybe yours is cleaning. Anyone can clean. Anybody can. But have you seen somebody who is gifted or talented at something like cleaning? There is a difference. There is a difference when somebody operates in their gift or in their talent. I think a question that we should ask ourselves today is, are we serving with our talent, with our gift? Maybe your talent is cooking, knitting, sewing, praying, interceding. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement, singing, the gift of helps. Maybe you've got a gift for parking cars or directing traffic. Not everybody can park cars or direct traffic. Maybe you have a gift of working with children. I have a friend who is a man of God. He has a gift of helps. And one Sunday morning, we were at this church, and he was asked, hey, can you come help fill in kids' church, ages 3 to 5 years? And he's like, oh, Lord, yes, I will come help. And so after service, I met him, and I said, hey, brother, how was the 3 to 5 years old? He said, well, it was like doing 3 to 5 years of hard time. I have the gift of helps. I will help out, but I'm not gifted and talented for that specific age group. And if you think about gifts and talents, I was thinking about King David. He started out protecting sheep on the backfield of his father's property. David became developed in the gifts and the talents that God had placed in him. He was being faithful even when he was alone. He sang, he played his instrument, he worked, he fought, he killed a lion, he killed a bear, he honed and sharpened his skills, he worked on his talent. He didn't know he was being prepared for things in his future as he was putting time in his talents. David was developing his talents on the back sheep pastures of his father's land. He was being faithful over the flock, and he was being faithful over the few things. But while he was doing this, he was becoming a worshiper. He was becoming a warrior. He was becoming a leader. And it didn't take long before, after the time spent developing those things, that it led him to new places. It even landed him in the palace. From a sheep pasture to the palace, just by spending the time working and developing the talents and the gifts that God has put in his life. Because of David's faithfulness, there came a day when he said, I can do this. I can take this giant down. I've been faithful when nobody was watching. I worship God. I know he's real. I know he's with me. I've been sharpening and honing my skills. God's helped me kill a lion. He's helped me kill a bear. And there is nothing that this giant can do because I come at him in the name of the Lord. And I'm using the skills that God has given me. And I believe God will use the thing that he's put in my hand to give victory and cause the giant to fall so that the kingdom can be advanced. He saw those things come to pass. But sometimes we get so tore up when we look at people like David or other people who have multiple talents. The Bible teaches us to not compare ourselves to one another. So what if this one has 5 talents and that one can do several different things? It doesn't matter. According to the parable of talents, Jesus said that the master gave according to their ability. He gave to you according to your ability. It is our duty to do with and to use what God has placed in our hands to make things happen, to see advancements made. There is so many 5 talented people who are living way below their means. Why? Because they don't use what God has given them. Have you seen people who can do anything and a multitude of things, but they don't use it? And they live way below their means. But if you think about it, on the other hand, there are so many single talented people who are living abundant lives. Why? Because they sharpen the gift that God placed in them. They steward the gift that God placed in them. You have to get so good. One time when I was a kid, I was at the church practicing playing one evening, and the custodian came in, and he's a fantastic musician. And I said, I get so tired of playing the same song over and over. He said, you need to play it till you can play it backwards with your eyes closed. And I was like, oh, my Lord. But the older I got, the more that stuck with me. If you'll take the talent that God gave you and you hone it and you sharpen it and you do it to where you can do it with your eyes closed, then when the giants stand before you, it just comes natural. God will use what he's placed in your hands to allow you to see victory. I mentioned cooking and knitting, among other things. These are two things that I get to see in action every week at Three Trees. There's a little widow woman who some would say used to be in ministry. Well, I say she still is. It just looks different than what it used to. She's not able to travel and preach and teach like she used to. But one day she was sitting at her home and she said, God, what can I do now? And she felt impressed of the Lord to start knitting while she was sitting there. And so as she sits at her house, she knits and knits and knits. And it may be called crocheting, I don't know. But it's tying string with a, yes, I don't. But she knits or crochets prayer cloths. God gave her even a special design for it. And her prayer cloths, every time she makes a stitch, she prays, she intercedes, she wages war in the heavenlies. She stands in the gap for people, believing God for the miracles in their life. You may have seen on their little white with a red small cross there in the center. God gave her that design. I have seen her prayer cloths go to prisons, jails, homeless shelters, mission fields all across the world, and they bless everyone that receives them, because people who need Jesus or need somebody to pray with them can take a hold of that prayer cloth and latch onto it as a point of contact for their faith to be released, and can know that God has sent somebody and prayers have been prayed for them. Her ministry, just because of her place in life, hasn't ended. Everybody has a gift. Don't tell me that you don't have a gift, because that's not Bible. The Bible says that he gave each of us a gift from his great variety. The third thing I observed that we're going to talk about today is treasure. What is treasure? Well, treasure is our resources. We are living in the most abundant country on the face of the earth. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed nation. We all have some type of resources. And I just mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I'll mention it now. Well, I skipped a place in my notes. But the Bible tells us that God even gives us the power to get wealth. And that even where our treasure is, that's where you'll find our heart. If somebody was to go looking for our hearts today, can we ask ourselves, would they find it in the kingdom? Is that where we have placed our treasure? Sometimes we ask ourselves about treasure, how can I get more treasure? I think it ties back to our time and our talent in some ways. Let me tell you about my friend. There's a guy, I met him, he and his wife and family, years ago. He has a voice that is so rich, and it's just almost magical. I mean, he's got one of those voices that you hear in the movies. It's just like unreal. You can just hear him saying,
in a world where time, talent, and treasure.
And he's amazing. He really is. And these are his words. He's often told me, he said, yes, I have a voice and the face for radio. He's such a great guy. He was born a poor boy in the coal mines of Kentucky, but God gifted him with one thing, and he focused on that. He started spinning records, recording commercials and ads. He spent a lot of lonely time behind a microphone in an empty studio, but his faithfulness towards using the gift that God had given him in the communications industry, it kept opening doors. Faithfulness in using what God had given him led him to more treasures than he could ever imagined for his life. His gifting in communications, it didn't stop at radio or voicing. Now he owns a company that installs infrastructure for communications that's used all over the world through cellular, telephone, radio, even satellite communications. His business really operates big time in that. It's such a great man of God. I believe, just like in my friend's life, you can create treasures to reach the world by focusing your time on the talents that God has given you. He lives a very generous lifestyle, faithful to God, and he serves so many people because he did put in the time into his talent. How can we use our treasures to serve others? One way the Bible teaches us is through giving. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Why does God say that? Because one of his laws is sowing and reaping, just like our text from the beginning. You may be able to say, sure, I'm doing well on my own. And maybe you are, and that's wonderful. But can you imagine with me what it would be like and how much better you could do if you were living with the full blessing of God on what you were doing? I've always wanted to be able to walk into a restaurant and just pay for everybody's meal in there. I always thought that would be a neat thing. And then when the folks go to check out, just instruct the staff to say, God led someone to bless you. So one evening, Kristen and I were pulling up at a restaurant to pick up a to-go order that we had called in. And I seen a car in the parking lot, and it was a fine car. And it could probably purchase the whole place and every car in the lot for what that car costs. And I knew in my heart of hearts that my friend and his wife were in the building. And I jumped out of the vehicle. I knew I just was excited I was going to get to see him. And I felt the Lord say, grab some more cash. So I went back and grabbed some more cash. Sure enough, I went in. There was my friend I was just telling you about. He and his little wife, they were sitting there enjoying dinner. We got to chit-chat and hug and reconnect. And just before I started to leave, after picking up my to-go order, I felt the Lord say, pay for their meal. And I said, okay, yes, Lord, I sure will. A few days later, the owner of that restaurant contacted me. And he said, hey, you know that guy and that woman that you paid for their meal the other night? I'm like, yeah. He said, he got to the register, and I told him. He said, he was so blessed, he was nearly in tears. He said, that little old man stood there and said, no one has ever really slipped and done something like that for me. He said, he leaned over the counter, and he said, I want to pay for everybody's food in here. And he said, when people go to check out, you just tell them, God led somebody to bless you. You never know what a little seed can grow into and how fast God can make it happen. Just because you can only sponsor one family's Thanksgiving, or maybe the treasure you give that isn't, it's not as much as somebody else's. We're not supposed to compare ourselves to everybody else. We're just supposed to be faithful and obedient. Don't ever underestimate what God can do with the seed of your treasure when it's planted in obedience. So the Bible tells us to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And if we give, it shall be given unto us. We at Three Trees are people who give of our time, our talent, and our treasure because we know everyone needs Jesus. We are a people who know that if we start where we are and we use what we have and we do what we can do, then God will do the rest. I believe God is also a people watcher. He loves to watch his kids. He enjoys getting to be a part of their lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that his eyes that watch over us, they never sleep and they never slumber. But I think a question for ourselves is, are we proud of what he's seeing? This Christmas season, gifts will be a big part of our family's traditions. But the most important gift that we open this season may be the gift of self, the gift of you. Are you open to God? Are you open to what he has for you? Are you open to allow him to use your time, your talent, your treasure? Are you open to allow him to redeem the things that have slipped away or may have been taken by someone else? Are you open to allow him to deem those things back to him? Whether it's your time, your talent, or your treasure, he's watching and he's interested and he wants to be a part of it. And it's not just so that you can be blessed, but it's so that others can be served and so that others can be blessed. And it's so that the good news of the greatest gift that was ever given can be shared.